Coon Rapids Baird Crusaders advance into the sub-state final this year as we're joined right now by head coach John Waddle to talk about the 2021 season. Crusaders going 24-9, 12-4 in the Rolling Valley Conference to take second place. Coach, always good to get a chance to chat with you and catch up with you. Appreciate your time here today. Congratulations on a great season.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. Obviously, we certainly would have liked to had one more game, but as you know, that's the way baseball goes sometimes.
I know, Coach. We talked here a little bit ago, and you mentioned that night after the game that, you know, you'd probably replay that game 1,000 times in your head, the loss the other night to Grundy Center 5-4 in that sub-state final. I got the sense, and I hate to have kind of start the interview with this, this one of the tougher losses late in the season that you've had maybe in the last 10 years or so?
I would say definitely. You know, it was a game that we thought we were probably a little bit favored coming in, although we know we were playing a great athletic team. You know, we had our number one guy going. They had their number two guy going. So it looked like things were lining up for us. But you still have to play the baseball game. And they made several great plays. Their center fielder did a tremendous job, took three hits away from us. They did a nice job of putting the ball in play. You know, we got down early, which is never good in a big game like that. But give our kids credit. We battled back, had the game tied, and then had several opportunities in the fifth, sixth, and seventh to really take control of the baseball game with a hit or two, and we just weren't able to get that hit.
Coach, does a loss like that dampen how good of a season, do you think, in the kids' minds, or do you think that everybody kind of eventually will look past the loss and go, you know, we won 25, almost, you know, 24, almost 25 games, still a young ball club with just three seniors?
I think For a week or two, it definitely dampens the season, no doubt about it. It takes a little time to recover from that. I tell the kids, you know, when you put in a lot of time and effort into, you know, trying to get better, trying to be a competitive baseball team, and you take a loss like that, it's disheartening. And that's just a credit to the kids, because if you don't put in a lot of time, then those losses really don't mean much or they don't hurt. So we're definitely stinging from this one, no doubt about it.
Coach, I get the sense the kids really listened to you, though. It was interesting to me in the postgame interview where I was talking with Aaron McAllister, and he talked about, you know, it's a game, it doesn't define us. Then you come over later in the postgame and kind of repeat and go a little bit in more in-depth, but repeat the same thing. So these kids, I think, take to heart what you say. That's got to mean something to you as a coach.
Well, that's good to know. You know, we had a little phrase that we kind of use this year, not only this year but other years, is baseball's what we do. It's not who we are as an individual or as a person. You take a tough loss like this, guys, you have to understand it doesn't make you a bad person. Even though you may have made some mistakes, we made some mistakes maybe as coaching staff too, and you know, it doesn't define us as a person. It's what we do. We play a competitive baseball game and we're trying to win, obviously, but when it's all said and done, hopefully it's built some character. You learn how to win. Obviously, the tough part is sometimes you have to learn how to lose, too.
Coach, your thoughts on the season as a whole. Did you feel like you guys accomplished, you know, a lot of the things that you wanted to this year?
Definitely. I think this ball club, Jeff, was an extremely hardworking ball club, especially on the offensive side of things. And I think statistically it kind of shows that this was one of our better offensive teams. I told the kids as we progressed throughout the season, you know, notoriously we're a slow-starting offensive team until we get some at-bats under our belt. But, you know, that about mid-season, 1 through 9, we had every one of our kids could hurt you when they came to the plate, and especially as we got closer and closer to tournament time. And that's just a testament to the kids putting in the time and the effort and just grinding through at-bats and practices and things of that sort. So we really liked where we were at by the end of the season.
Do you feel like pitching and defense were as good as you normally like to have them?
Well, you can never have enough pitching. I know that, especially with the pitch count rule and yep, everything like that. But I think overall, yes, our pitching got better too. We had a lot of inexperienced people on the mound. You know, Quinton was our guy coming back, and then Preston and McAllister had some innings. But beyond that, we didn't have guys with a lot of innings. And, you know, we threw heavily with Colby Culbertson, a freshman, and then Josh Ramirez helped us out. Lance Clayburg, a sophomore, came in. Easton Hayes, Jacob Estrada. Tanner Oswald. So you can see we were trying to build some depth, not only for this season, but for next season and beyond that. And so I think a lot of those kids gained some valuable experience, and now we can build on that in the off season and hopefully hit the ground running again next summer.
Coach, you guys opened up with an early loss against Arweva to start the season, but I thought just a few games later kind of maybe showed what this team was really capable of doing. Everybody knew you guys and Cam probably going to be two of those favorites for the conference. You pick up a 4-3 victory against Camanita early in the year. Did that help set the tone for this team, do you think?
I think so. That was a tough first loss for us. Arweva played well. You know, Will Regaler pitched very well against us, and it was a game that they put the ball in play when they needed to, and we had a lot of balls back at the pitcher and stuff that night. And so I think we had to go back to the drawing board and kind of redefine ourselves offensively, and especially the kids, I think, knew that they had a lot of room for improvement yet from the offensive side of things. But, yes, I think the win against Cam then, because it was really desperation at that time to stay in the conference hunt, gave our kids the confidence that they could play with just about anyone.
Came back with another loss to Woodbine, though, but eventually, kind of, as you mentioned, you get the bats going a little bit, an 8-game winning streak in early June. What led to that?
Confidence, no doubt about it. Experience in the batter's box. Kids just kind of understanding what pitch they could handle, maybe what pitch they needed to lay off of. Just better control of the strike zone in general. We really also, as a coaching staff, we talked about barreling up balls, putting balls in play hard. And so we did a lot of stuff in practice on that where we weren't so concerned about getting a hit. We just wanted to see that ball jump off the end of the baseball bat. And I think kids started what we call barreled up some balls. And then once that confidence of doing that grew, you could see we were starting to manufacture runs then.
Did you feel at that time like you were playing your best baseball, or did you know that there was more for this team to grow?
I thought we had a little bit more in our tank yet. You know, the biggest thing is, can you do that against quality pitching? So we needed to kind of move down the road a little bit with some of our non-league games and some of the good competition that we play outside of our conference, and to see if we could do it against quality pitching. Once we started seeing that happening against some teams, you know, like Seidel and Alta Aurelia, and just to name a couple of them, then I think we knew that we were getting better.
Coach, you guys do always schedule tough non-conference. What do you look to take away from that? Because I know you want to win those games, but sometimes you're going up against some really large schools compared to you guys. It's going to be difficult to win those games, but it still, I'm assuming, is making you better.
That's the goal. You can't do it, though, year in and year out if you can't be competitive with those teams, because psychologically it doesn't do you any good. So it's really, really important for us not only to play those teams, but to play those teams well and actually to get some wins in those games, Jeff, because I think it's kind of self-defeating if you can't accomplish that. And we look forward to those games too. You know, in a lot of other sports, you know, the 1A kids can't really compete with the 3As and the 4As, but the game of baseball is just a strange game. You don't have to tackle them. You don't have to do certain things like that. You know, you catch the ball, throw the ball, hit the ball. It gives you an opportunity to win baseball games. And so, you know, we kind of get a thrill out of doing that, to play the bigger schools and then hopefully to come out with a victory against them.
You guys took on Ogden right about the time the districts came out. You knew that they were going to be in your district. Ended up falling that game 7-4. But, you know, we kind of joke around here that you probably didn't show much of your hand that night, knowing that you probably were going to meet up with them in the districts. What did you guys take away from that? Because you went on a 6-game winning streak then right after that game.
Well, we definitely didn't show them anything, because we knew ultimately we thought that was a team that we were going to have to go through for a district title. And that's exactly what happened. And they probably didn't show us anything either. The other thing in that game that maybe some people don't realize is Easton Hayes had turned an ankle in a game before that against Wes Harrison. He was out of center field. That just threw everything kind of out of whack for us defensively. We had to shift Culberson over to center. Ramirez was throwing. We had to take Clayburg off of third base, moving over to first base. So we had a lot of defensive shifts during that game. And ironically, there were a couple of defensive plays in that game that normally we probably would make if our guys were in their correct spots. but we had a couple inexperienced people in spots they weren't used to being at, and that cost us several runs in that game, you know. So we felt pretty good even after the game. The other thing that we did in that game, Jeff, is we stranded quite a few base runners.
Yep.
We had opportunities to knock them out early. I think we had 10 or 12 hits in the first four innings and then really didn't do much the last three innings. So when we went back and reflected on the game, we thought, you know what, we're going to be better defensively with Easton back in there, rearrange our pitching, and then offensively we thought we could, you know, manufacture enough runs to be competitive with them. But a Dick Smith team over at Ogden, quite honestly, generally speaking, you're not going to blow them out.
Right.
They usually don't blow you out necessarily if you've got a good ball club. So you know you're going to be in a tough baseball game, and that's exactly what happened in the district finals. That was a very good baseball game.
Yeah, I could tell listening to your post-game interview that night with Tyler, you were really pleased with the way your team played that second time against Ogden.
No doubt. We spent a lot of time preparing for, you know, the different options they were going to throw at us on the mound. They did come at us with the Mormon kid who was their number one guy. We spent three, four days getting prepared for that, not shortchanging the other guys they may throw at us. And I thought we did a very nice job offensively executing our game plan, staying off of pitches, being patient. That was kind of what we wanted to do going in, run up his pitch count, maybe tiring a little bit, bring his velocity down from what he starts the game at. And that's kind of how things unfolded, you know. And then we escaped the first inning there. Preston did a nice job of, you know, he gave up a solo home run after three pitches. That not exactly the way you want to start a district game, but bases loaded then with two outs, and he struck out the final hitter of that first inning. And I thought that really created some momentum for us.
Was that one of your better games of the year? You look back through the schedule. We talked a little bit about that big win against Cam early, but you came back, knocked off Woodbine. You had a good win over a very good Alta Aurelia team. You blew out a Southeast Valley team that's been really pretty strong over the years. Then you get that late win against Ogden in the districts. What games stand out for you, though, as the games you maybe played your best baseball?
Well, I think the ones that you just mentioned were certainly games there. I think early in the year up in the Carroll tournament when we played Seidel, you know, Seidel, you know, didn't end up with a great overall record, but they are a 3A baseball school. They've been very, very competitive over the years, and we happened to pick them off up in the Carroll tournament. I think that was a good confidence builder for our kids because they threw one of their better pitchers against us, and then I thought they were swinging the bats pretty well at that point in time, and even their coach said that. They may have tapered as the year went along, you know, maybe some frustration set in because they weren't getting some wins like they wanted to. So I thought that was a key game, too. Then we go down to the Prongy Invitational. We play a Carlisle team, an excellent hitting baseball club. We hung around in that game. We ended up, you know, it ended up score-wise not looking like what we wanted to. It was 10-1, but that was a 4-1 ball game, 5-1 ball game. We had bases loaded. We hit into, I think it was three or four double plays that night or that afternoon, which really cost us the opportunity to score some runs. So even in a loss to a team like that, I think you can grow with some confidence. And I think our kids took that away from those couple games.
Coach, losing the Newell Fonda game, not a loss, but not getting to play it late in the season, do you think that affected you guys any? Because I know that's another non-conference tough opponent that you guys like to play.
At the time, it was one game that we really, really wanted to play because we only had two games scheduled the last week, and that was one of them that was supposed to end on Wednesday, and then tournaments were going to start on Saturday. So I thought it was going to be a kind of a nice fill-in game at that point in time. Two good teams going at each other, kind of guys that had received votes or else ranked in the top 10. I know that they had a great baseball team. Obviously, they went down to the sub-state game, too. So, yeah, it was disappointing not to play them because I thought it was going to be a game at that point in time just to kind of gauge where we were at. I knew we were going to see a good quality arm or two from them, even though it was, you know, 3 or 4 days before district tournament time because they have enough arms on their team to challenge you. So it was disappointing not to be able to play them. And it kind of had to reshape our practice plans just a little bit then the next several nights. So we had to do some things maybe that we normally wouldn't do to try to gain what we lost in by not playing that game.
Coach mentioned early on just three seniors on this team, but three really good kids and really good baseball players, Quentin Culbertson, Josh Ramirez, and Aaron McAllister. All those guys, I have a feeling, probably special to you and to this program.
No doubt about it. I'll just give you a couple statistics about those kids and what they did over their careers. You know, and we had a shortened season last year, so they didn't get a full season in. But during their 5 years, Jeff, they won 105 games and lost 48. They had three district titles out of their 5 years. So that puts you knocking on the state tournament three times out of your 5 years. They did get to the state tournament one time. In the conference, they were 51-14 over those 5 years. They had two first-place finishes, two second-place finishes. And so I think that just kind of indicates what kind of baseball players they were. And not only that, the leadership that they provided. And what's really neat from a coaching standpoint is when you have a group of seniors, we only had three, doesn't seem like a lot, but, you know, sometimes it's hard to keep kids in programs for small schools, but these kids were dedicated. And then what's neat about it is they had monster years. I mean, Josh hit .385 for us, drove in 32 runs. Aaron hit .337, had a lot of tough outs, you know, hard outs that sometimes aren't base hits. He drove in 29 runs, had 12 doubles, three home runs. And then what can you say about Quentin Culbertson on the mound? I mean, he was our go-to guy. I know his career didn't end the way it wanted to, perhaps at the sub-state game, but he walked 15 kids this year, struck out 76. That's a tremendous ratio.
Yep.
Had a 7-3 record for us. Threw against all the tough teams. Those losses were to Grundy Center, to Cam, and to Carlisle. So we were trying to season him as our season went along. He had a 2.1 ERA. If you just take a look at those statistics, I think you can see that not only statistically from a baseball standpoint did those three kids lead our program, but just from a leadership standpoint, just by the way they came to practice and the things they did, hats off to them. I'm proud to have coached them.
John, junior class a little bigger. We'll run through them a couple at a time for you here. We'll start off because this is a class that has a lot of guys that help you out. Gabe Obert and Preston McAllister. Gabe had a stretch this year at the plate where he was hitting probably as well or better than anybody, and Preston gave you a heck of a number two on the hill this year.
No doubt about it. You know, Gabe, when he was a younger kid back in the junior high days, you know, he said he struggled with hitting. But every year he's progressed a little bit more and a little bit more. And I think this year you saw the breakout season for him. He hit .383 for us. He has tremendous speed. 36 RBI, moved up into our sixth hole. Probably could have hit in other spots in our lineup too. So Gabe just had a tremendous year. You know, we started him in center field and stuff, but then we shifted him over to right field. And it's not because right field is a weak spot. On our team, right field is a very, very important position in our ballpark. You've got the sun. You've got our big gap there that goes .371 to right center field.
Yep.
And the year before, Jeff, he played a tremendous right field. And I just thought he was more comfortable out there than he was in center field. Not that he couldn't play center, but, you know, we had a good one in Easton Hayes,
yes,
too, capable of playing that. So definitely Gabe had a great year, and so hopefully he can carry that over into his senior year. And then Preston, you know, he just kept developing. We were wondering who our number two guy was going to be, and really the cream rose to the top in Preston. You know, he ended up 6-1 for us. Not, you know, a blow-you-away strikeout type pitcher, but he's going to throw the ball across the plate. Had 14 walks, 42 strikeouts, but just a 1.62 ERA. So Preston did a tremendous job. Teams hit .209 against him, which is very, very good. So he stepped up. We felt very comfortable. Obviously, we went with him starting against Ogden in the district final.
Yep.
Just because we thought his curveball and stuff could cause him some problems. So he did a great job.
Coach, you mentioned Easton Hayes in center field. I thought he turned into a special guy for you guys this year. Another one, Tanner Oswald, able to play shortstop and some other positions for you. And then the other junior as well, Clark Severs, another kid that helped you out this year.
No doubt about it. You know, Clark's one guy that didn't get a lot of varsity playing time, but he plugs along in practice. He's a great attitude around the kids. Just a fun kid to have around the program. Got to courtesy run more towards the end of the season and so became a contributor. And then Clark, you know, can swing the bat a little bit. So I'm sure he's hoping for some playing time next year, you know, and maybe in a DH role or you know, somewhere else. Who knows? You take the other two. You want to talk about a defensive center fielder, Easton Hayes.
Yep.
I think I would match him up with just about anyone out there from a defensive standpoint. He just plays extremely hard. And the thing you don't see is how he works at it in practice. We spend a lot of time in practice during our batting practice, not standing around, but that's where you learn to play defense. In a game, you may get one or two baseballs, I tell the kids, and that's the play you have to make. But what you have to do is you have to make the 25 or 30 or 40 of them during batting practice, because then you'll be able to make that play in the game when you have to make that one catch or that those two catches that come your way. Easton led us with 32 stolen bases. Batting average-wise, I look at it, he was at 395. He actually showed a little pop in his bat, too. He had six doubles and four triples, and I'm sure he wants to brag about his one home run, too. But he's not a power hitter, per se, but, you know, those are pretty good power numbers for the most part.
Yep.
And then you take Tanner Oswald at shortstop. That kid is getting better and better there. I mean, he can make a lot of on-the-move plays, go deep in the hole. He's got a great arm. I think he's really lined himself up for a great senior year, too. Offensively, he didn't have the year that he had the year before. But, you know, hitting's one of those things. It's not easy. It's a difficult thing to do. And Tanner will keep working at that. He didn't have a bad season at the plate. You know, he ended up hitting .263. But defensively, that's his forte. And we're hoping he can give us some innings on the mound, too, because he has a good live arm.
Speaking of defensively, I thought Lance Klaberg over at third base was fantastic for you guys the other night against Grundy Center, and maybe didn't have the game at the plate he had wanted, but he had an outstanding year at the plate. I talked about it during our broadcast that night, that with the Outlaw Graphics Regional Athletes of the Week that we announce every Friday, we keep a running total each week for all of the kids and their offensive stats. It's one of the easiest things to be able to kind of follow, and he was one of the best hitters and most consistent hitters in the area all season long. And then you mentioned that Jacob Estrada gave you some really good help out on the hill this year.
Well, Lance made four tremendous plays in the sub-state game, two of them to end the sixth inning and two of them to begin the seventh inning. I mean, those were phenomenal plays.
Yep.
Just a little sidelight to that, I just happened to be walking off on one of the plays or stepped out of the dugout to compliment him. I turned to move back in, and a coach from an opposing team that I really didn't know, he just looked at me and he said, "Coach, that's a big-time play and a big-time arm."
Yep.
I mean, so you can see that. When other coaches tell you that, you know that the kid's getting the job done. But Lance was one of those candidates that not many people probably knew much about from the previous year as a freshman, but we knew he had the potential to be really, really good. We know he was going to hit .424. We thought he was capable of hitting, being a mid-350 hitter type thing. But to hit .424 as a sophomore, defensively he's got some of the best hands that I've ever had play that corner position at third base. He is not afraid of the baseball. His footwork is really good. He stays. We talk about stay to the right of the ball and move into it. He's just exceptional at doing that. And we think he can give us some really quality innings over his next 2 years on the pitching mound, too. And the thing about Lance is he's versatile.
Yep.
He played left field for us, he played center field for us, and he also played first base for us. But we really like him at third base. You know, if Oswald comes in and pitches a little bit more next year, Lance is a guy I think we could comfortably shift over to the shortstop position, no doubt about it. And then you mentioned Jacob Estrada. Jake is one of those guys. He was our number 10 guy, and he did get some playing time this year and stuff. Offensively, you know, he struggled from probably what he wanted to do, but what great experience for him. I told him, you know, that's where you're going to grow up pretty quickly next year because you're going to step into a heavy role. And he's a kid that can play multiple positions too. And he did a nice job on the mound for us for several games. He's got a good fastball and a really above average curveball. I'm excited for Jake. He loves the game of baseball. So it should be fun for him. He's going to get a great opportunity next year to fill in one of the senior spots that are graduating, and where he's going to fit in. He could become our catcher. He could play infield. He did play outfield for us too. So we're excited for Jake Estrada. We really are.
Coach, kind of like the sophomore class, just a couple of freshmen, but Colby Culbertson, I thought, came on this year and had an outstanding year for you. And Cade Barron's the other guy that filled in when you needed him to in certain roles.
Colby was one of those kids that product of his environment. He grew up playing catch with Quentin.
Yep.
When Quentin needed someone to play catch with, it was Colby that got the call because he was next in line in the family and stuff. And so you could see why he was able to then step in and play that varsity role. It's kind of fun to watch the development of players. If you'd have watched our first couple weeks of practice with Colby in the outfield in different spots, you would have said, this is not going to happen this year. I mean, there are a lot of balls that he misjudged, balls that he dropped, but he just continued to grind and work. And by the time the season rolled around, after, 3 weeks of the preseason and a lot of balls off the bat and off the machine and off the fungo, he started to develop. We knew he was a very good athletically, and he has a nice live arm too. He's going to have to be one of our top pitchers next year. And from the left side, he really gives you a lot from the movement standpoint. He can throw three pitches. He didn't throw real well as an eighth grader. It's just a big transition from seventh grade to eighth grade. And what he did this year to throw at the varsity level, I'm trying to look and see. He threw 25 innings for us, which was very, very good. And his walk and strikeout ratio will get even better. But he had 18 walks, 36 strikeouts. I think he has a ton of upside potential. And then offensively, we actually moved him up into our number two hole. He started down in the eight hole and stuff too. So I think you could see the progress that Colby made as the season went along. Cade Behrens is another one. He's a gentleman that we think is going to be able to give us some varsity innings next year. He spot started one game for us this year because of pitch count and a lot of games. I think we had 7 games in 6 days. And we just needed another starter, and Cade came in and pitched very well in that game and got us a win. He has a ball I call it's kind of a heavy ball. The ball just seems to have a little sink on it. So we think he's very, very capable. He had a great JV year for us. His walk-to-strikeout ratio was tremendous. So I think he has to be excited about the opportunity to get on the varsity mound for us and contribute. There's a few things we're going to have to work on in the offseason as far as holding runners and things of that sort, or, quicken up his delivery a little bit. But the potential's there for Cade to help us out.
3 eighth graders. Parker Hayes, one of those, did a nice job running for you this year and probably will have a bigger role in the future. And then, you got another Oswald and Wyatt and a Moore kid, Tyler. Names that people are going to know because those are usually athletic families.
No doubt about it. If you do the math, we lose 3 seniors. Jake Estrada's got a good opportunity to pick up one of those spots. That leaves 2 spots open. It's tough for 8th graders to come in and play at the varsity level. We think we may have, 1 or 2 that can do that, but then there's still going to be another slot that's open. A lot of times, Jeff, our lineup depends on who's on the mound.
Yep.
And what defensive position we need when that person is on the mound. So definitely the 3 that you just mentioned, Wyatt, Parker, and Tyler, are going to have to pick up significant roles hopefully at the varsity level. We're just hoping that one of them can really come out of the crowd and fill in. The biggest thing is fill in offensively. That's usually a tough challenge for kids. Defensively, they can usually make the transition a little bit quicker, but the progress that they made as eighth graders now, they're going to feel a lot more comfortable coming into our program. Kids tend to get a little overwhelmed for all the things that we try to do and accomplish. That their eighth grade year seems to be a blur if you go back and talk to them. But they progress quickly, though.
Coach, I get the sense you're pretty excited about the future of this team and in the near future and in the long-term future as well.
No doubt about it. I don't want to make any predictions on records or anything next year. Coach Hayden and I have talked about this. Jeff, there are a lot of tremendous junior baseball players on the teams in our conference coming back. You've got a couple over at Arweva and Cook and Regaler, and Cam is absolutely loaded. They only lose 1 kid from all of them that they played this year. I mean, they have a tremendous junior class, and Woodbine has some really good juniors. West Harrison has a couple really nice arms, sophomore and junior. So it's going to be an extremely competitive Rolling Valley Conference next year. Maybe one of the strongest and deepest conference races that I maybe can predict that I've seen. And so it's not going to be an easy challenge for us. But as with the kids that I just mentioned, I think if we make some progress in the off season, that we're going to be right into the thick of things too.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, it's always fun watching your kids play. They just are so fundamentally solid, and they come with the right kind of attitudes, and we enjoy covering you guys, and I enjoy chatting with you. You're such a knowledgeable and respectable guy, and it's so much fun getting to work around you. Appreciate you always getting us results and working with us, and thanks for everything you do for us throughout the season.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate it. Like I said, it was a tremendous year for our kids when you step back and reflect on it. You know, I was kidding around with some people. They always ask after a tough loss like that, you know, how do you feel today? And I said, well, I didn't know if I wanted to cry, scream, or actually throw up when I got up this morning. I couldn't decide which one to do, so I said I did all three of them to try to get over that loss because I was just really so disappointed for the kids because the culmination of all your hard work is to try to get to what we call the pot at the end of the rainbow, and that's the state tournament. And so it just kind of leaves a pit in your stomach as a coach when the kids didn't get the opportunity to experience that. But when you reflect back on it, it wasn't because of effort or anything like that. And so at the end of the day, when you've given 100%, what more can you ask for? And so my hat's off to these kids. They were fun to be around, a great group of guys to coach. So I think Coach Hayden and I were pretty lucky from a coaching standpoint to be able to have that opportunity.
I tell you what, Coach, great year and congratulations again. 24-9 overall, 12-4 in the Rolling Valley Conference. Head Coach John Waddle joining us again here today as we take a look back at the 2021 season.